I wonder if there was something somebody did for you that made you get engaged in a mission. I wonder if there was something that somebody you did, that you did for somebody else that made you passionate about that mission. I wonder if you have a commitment to missions. My name's Keith Arcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we're in week 5 of our vision statement, our identity series. And it's what we look like as a church should you take our DNA sample, like a thumbprint. If you took that, what is it that we look like, and what are our core values and our mission statement? So our mission here at Palm Harbor, some of you know it, and lots of you are going to say it along with me. Here's our mission statement at Palm Harbor. Our mission statement is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. These last 5 weeks we've been doing that, and there's 5 core areas that we focus on in order to do that mission statement. Here they are. Open-hearted generosity. That was what we did for the week 1. We talked about the widow and how she gave all of what she had in the temple, and it's because she had an open heart is what Jesus commended her for. Next is excellence in Christian development. We have over 900 children here in our programs in the week here, and everything that we teach there in throughout those entities is we teach them excellence in Christian development. We want them to know who Jesus is. Amen. And the next that we have a continuous focus on the future. Everything we do around here has an emphasis on children being engaged and finding out where their mission is in life. Today we'll talk about commitment to missions. And then finally next week we'll talk about passionate participation. I have had the privilege to go on a mission trip. I've had the opportunity to be involved locally with local missions. I've had the opportunity to be involved regionally in Florida and beyond in the United States in missions. And I've had the opportunity to be involved internationally to go to other countries and do a mission trip. A couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to go with my son, Max, on a mission trip that we had planned way before COVID, and then finally, we got to finally go a couple of months ago to Guatemala with One Ball, One Village. This is what the ball was for, so you guys know what I'm talking about. One Ball, One Village. And it all started with this one ball for the village, and this village had a ball, and the two warring tribes got together, and they, because they played soccer together, football together, and this kind of unified them. And this organization started called One Ball, One Village. And I got the opportunity to go with them to this place, Guatemala. And Guatemala, they've installed water systems, over 50 water systems in Guatemala over the time that they've been involved there. And the mission of this particular group is really interesting. This is on their website. 2.2 billion people worldwide lack access to safely managed sources of drinking water for their family. 2.2 billion. 1.8 billion people use a source of drinking water which is contaminated. And approximately 300,000 children under the age of 5 worldwide die every year due to unsafe drinking water and poor hygiene. We consider contaminated water to be the number one health problem in the world. So they take these 4 containers, and you can go see them in the multipurpose room after this, but they take these 4 containers and help purify the water. They take the water and they help purify the water through 4 successive filtration units. And my son and I got the opportunity to visit 6 churches while we were there and install these water systems. That was 19 people going around Guatemala, traveling to these impoverished kind of towns and churches. As we installed the water systems, the rest of the team were involved in, you know, vacation Bible school kind of structures for children, equipping the local doctors and nurses to and providing medical equipment for them, dental equipment and dental solutions for those who are in the area. And this year, I got the opportunity to help out with opticians, with eyes. This last church that we went to was really impactful for me and for many. It was the last day of the trip together, and we traveled 2 hours to this church that was kind of a pinnacle in the community, but still didn't have clean water. I was working with the opticians at first, and there's lots of other stuff going on while you're on the site, and everybody's around. We've got the T-shirts on, you know, kind of thing. And I was working with the optician, and he's a missionary. And these people come to him, and he analyzes them. You know, he looks in their eyes, sees they've got glaucoma. And we had a whole host of glasses that were donated. And unfortunately, some people work over open fire all the time, and it damages your eyes, and their eyes were like, you know, becoming bloodshot from working over open fire through cooking. So the optician would say to me, well, get like 2.5 or 1.5, get the readers or get the glasses. And I don't know if you've ever seen this before, you and I are kind of used to glasses, but I gave her the glasses, the people who needed glasses, and there was kind of like an instant response that, you know, they couldn't see, they were like this, and then they put their eyes like, oh, wow! It was like a miracle because they put glasses on, and it was such a beautiful sight to see people who'd never seen reading glasses before. A group of women came in the community who were hurting and in pain, struggling in their families. And Leslie, one of the women that runs the trips, invited those to come forward to pray. And there was the awkward silence, you know, where the prayers stand around. So, Pastor Keith's here, he can pray for you. And we've got an interpreter. And it was this awkward silence as nobody came forward. And then they started to come in droves and to pray. And so much so that more teams had to set up to pray for them. And we'd be praying in Spanish and praying in English. And there was so much weeping, and they'd say, I'm sick, and we could send them immediately to the medical center where they were sick. A great outpouring was witnessed as these people were praying with us, and we were praying with them. We have this celebration where they finish installing the water system, and the Americans stand around, and the Guatemalans stand around and drink the water that just come out of the system. Everyone says, yeah, the water's great, and we stand, and we give them a ball, they get the ball, they pass the ball out to symbolize what this is all about. And when we did the dedication ceremony, they started to pray for us, and we started to pray. And then they started to pray. And everybody in all sorts of different dialects and different tongues, from Spanish to the local dialect, to English, to real English, to American English. It was just like all sorts of kind of different prayers going on. And we felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in a sweaty, run-down church in Guatemala. And it was beautiful. What was our foundation for going? What's the reason for going on our mission trip? Why do you go? Those of you who've gone and those of you who go and participate locally, regionally, and internationally, why go? What's the foundation? Well, our foundation is in Genesis. Our foundation for mission is found in Genesis, in Genesis chapter 12. If you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to be jumping around a little here with our scriptures in Genesis chapter 12. In fact, I messed up. This is the wrong one, the one on the wall. Take that one off. Thanks so much, Owen. But the one in your Bibles is the right one. Genesis chapter 12 is where we are. Here's what it said. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, the Lord has said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. all the families on earth will be blessed through you. This is the first agent of Yahweh, the first person of God to have a particular mission. And what is the foundation for his mission? What does it say? It says, I want you to be a blessing. I want you to be a blessing wherever you go. He's sent into this really dark land in Canaan. He's sent into this place to set up altars to Yahweh and to make God's name great. And say, this is Yahweh's place, and God has provided this land. So his whole family, they didn't know where they were going at first. His whole family go in a caravan south, leave his family of origin, and go south to this place. And the main reason is what? To be a blessing. Now, that word gets used a lot. You know, you might see it in an email, blessings. You might see it in a card or the blessing. What does it mean? Well, the original Hebrew there is barak or barakah. And baraka means that we are to be a gift, to seek the excellence in a person, or to benefit people's lives. To benefit people's lives. So we go to do those three things, and then we set up altars, or we say, God's name is great in your community. No matter where you are, whether it's locally, regionally, or internationally, you say, God's name is great, and we are amplifying the name of God, or we are amplifying what Jesus has done in our lives. So that's the foundation for what we do. We are to be a blessing. Let's say it together. We would be a blessing. So when you're a blessing, you are helping. When you are not helping, you are hurting, and it's causing a curse. So we don't go in on our horse and say, we're going to rescue you. It's how are we being a blessing to this community? That's the foundation of missions. Next up, what are we to do? Well, jump all the way forward to Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus was sending everybody out. Some of you might know this verse. What are we to do when we go on a mission? What do we do when we go? Matthew 28:19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not going because it's fun to go to this particular area. We're not going because I haven't been to this land before, but it'd be nice to go. No, we are going to proclaim the name of Jesus, and we are going to make disciples. Sometimes you end up getting discipled while you're there because you realize there's something you need to do in your own life. But Jesus says, follow my teaching. So while you're on mission, you are following Jesus' teaching more than ever before. You are allowing yourself to be used by God to be a blessing. So the foundation is to be a blessing. The what is to make disciples and set up places, altars. So in the Guatemala context, the water filtration system is kind of an altar. In fact, when you set up a water filtration system in Guatemala, there's like 50 of them. What part of the agreement that the pastor agrees to at the church is that this water you would not just pass out to your community, to your church, like here, but you would pass out to your entire community. Everybody, even those that don't come, would have fresh water to be a blessing to your community. And they get the locals involved, to get the locals involved to maintain these filtration systems. So not only is this free water that you're giving out, free, clean water that is good for your gut, but also you are leading them to the living water. So part of the agreement is that you give it out to everybody around in your community and that you tell them about Jesus and how he is the living water, amen? Set up an altar. This is the place. This is the place where we proclaim Jesus is Lord. This is the place where we're thankful for the fact that we've got water. So the foundation is we'd be a blessing. What do? We make disciples and set up altars so that we can say we're continuing to make disciples. And then where do we go? So the next one is, where should we go? Bermuda? Caribbean? Some nice sunny place? What does it say? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What does it say? But this is Jesus after he's ascending. This is Jesus after he's done all he can with the disciples. He's been on the earth another 40 days after the resurrection. And the disciples are like hanging out waiting for some sort of mass plan. Here's what Jesus says to them. You will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Where? In Jerusalem. Jerusalem means Jesus right now. Amen. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. They thought that was the ends of the earth, then they hadn't discovered the rest of it. So yeah, we'll go as far as Pasco County. We'll go as far as North Florida to the Panhandle. We'll go all the way to Guatemala. Locally, regionally, and internationally. Some of you have been doing this for a lot of the time of your life. Some of you, it's in your core being to be on mission. Some of you have been doing locally, and you might want to jump up to doing something regionally. Maybe you want to come with me to Zephyr Hills Correctional Institute on the 29th of October and witness those who are being transformed by the light of Christ in the jail. Maybe some of you have been doing regionally and you want to jump to international. You want to go to different lands and experience. And I don't know why, but something massive happens when you go internationally. Something like you'll never experience again. You make relationships and you see the God's hand differently. Go to Jerusalem, to Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So we've got the foundation, we've got the what we are meant to do, we've got the where should we go, and how should we go there, by the way? He says, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. We can't really do these events without the power of the Holy Spirit. And J.D. Wall of Seedbed fame says that those who are attentive to the Holy Spirit, he says that the Holy Spirit favors the attentive. It favors those immersed in the story of Scripture. It favors the pure-hearted. It favors those who open themselves up to divine assignments. It favors those who are predisposed to obey what God has said. Okay? We've got the foundation. We got the what, we got the where, why? Why should we go? Paul talks about this in Romans. And sometimes this scripture gets a little lost on us because we think everybody's got one of these things. In fact, we can literally text people across the Atlantic Ocean right now a scripture, and people will get it in their hands. And this verse sometimes gets lost because we think everybody's got one of these things. What does Paul say? In chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, why we should go. He says, how can they call on him to save them? Verse 14, how can they call on him, Jesus, to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scriptures today say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Faith comes by hearing, not texting, not just like randomly seeing different posts somewhere and that's going to move you forward. And faith comes by hearing, specifically your testimony, specifically how God is at work in your life. Specifically, whether your heart is attuned to this Holy Spirit or not, you are able to communicate with others in different places, and because of that, they hear something. They hear something for the first time ever. It's like, oh, now I get it. Now I get who Jesus is. And they hear something beautiful for a change. They hear that the gospel is real as much as to them as it is to you. How can they hear unless someone tells them? So, go. Go to places where God calls you to. Be a blessing, be a baraka. Be a person who brings value into people's lives. Tells them of the joy of the love of God. Tell them the good news. Tell them that Jesus loves them no matter what language they speak. Set up altars. Set up altars that says God's name is great. Do it through footballs. Do it through water fountains. Do it through filtration systems. Whatever it is you do, do it locally, do it regionally, do it internationally. But have a commitment to missions so that we can